What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by The Club, the number one live streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, Chris J. Hudson. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people who you are and where you're from?
No problem. Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Chris J. Hudson. I am a producer and singer and mix engineer. I'm from originally Phoenix, Arizona, but I reside out here in LA now doing my thing.
Wonderful, brother. Thank you for being here with us on the My DJ Story podcast. Now, you're not a DJ per se. You're a producer and an artist, but I thought it was very fitting to bring you on the show with your vast experience working with DJs and also just working in the music industry in general. We'd love to you to talk to us. You know, what got you into becoming a producer? What sparked that interest? And kind of walk us through your journey as a producer. Then we'll jump into how that relates to DJing.
Sure. Yeah, of course. I got into producing, I guess the same way that just about anybody gets into loving music is they hear it. And I heard this one song way back in the day, Timbaland and Aaliyah's Try Again. It's got like this ridiculous bass line. It was on the Romeo Must Die soundtrack, like way back in the day when I was a little boy. And I heard that sound, and you know, my parents, they played, you know, Marvin Gaye and a lot of the classic, you know, 60s, 70s and 80s artists, Michael Jackson, Prince. But I had never heard a sound like that bass line that Timbaland used. It's a bass synth, and it sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. Like it just blew my mind as a kid. I was like, what is that? Like, this is like space music. You know what I mean? It's from the future. And I heard it. And I fell in love, and I just had to know how it was done. And so that like really got my interest. But what really started to happen is as the, you know, everybody gets music in their head when they really love it. What started to happen with me was I would start to hear different elements in it. I would unpack it, play the parts that I liked in my head. And then I would start to add other elements into it and then remix it. And eventually the top 40 songs that I was hearing would become entirely different beats with just the original lyric on top. So I was like, oh, I could get into like being a remixer, you know what I mean? Remix producer or something like that. And so I ended up like just, you know, in the spirit of the hustle, I ended up working like two jobs in high school, after school. And I saved up and I just bought a ton of equipment. And I just started figuring things out. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody in my family is musical. I didn't have any real guidance. I just, you know, Google was my friend. I just, you know, searched as much as I could and find the information that I could. I went to YouTube, but you know, YouTube didn't have all the tutorials that it has today. Like that's a whole lane that you can go in by itself now, is just, you know, putting up videos on YouTube. And so I ended up starting off with like Logic 9 and GarageBand, and then I went to Logic 9 and then I went to Logic. And all the while, as I kept practicing, like for me, I would hear music in my head and I would do whatever I had to do in order to create that idea and get it out of the speaker. And so that led me into a lot of different arenas. And that's why I've been doing, making so much money right now, mixing projects here in LA, because I was such a stickler about the way everything sounded. It had to be precise. So, but the cool thing is with the tying in with DJs is like DJs are how people hear music. You know what I mean? And I think that the role of the DJ, like it's kind of gone up and down as far as, you know, musicians not liking DJs, like, you know, back in the 80s and 90s and loving them. And then, you know, there's a back and forth sometimes. But to me, it's like DJs are super important because that's how literally like everybody hears their music is it's curated. Like somebody decides like this is a song that I like and I want to share it. And then they have, you know, an audience and people listen and it inspires them. So they're really like the gateways and the gatekeepers of good music. And so they're extremely important in my opinion.
Wow. No, I love that insight, man. And you have a super interesting journey. And one thing you spoke about earlier before we got on the interview was, you know, you have fans and people that really love and adore your music. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, that relationship you have with your fans and how, you know, even DJs could kind of build that same kind of following and what you did to kind of create that following for people just love you as an artist and as a musician.
Mm. Well, I think the number one thing is you got to do what you love. And this is one of the things that kind of took me in this direction is really following that idea that's in your head, that thought. It's like the music's got to sound a certain way and you got to do whatever it takes to get there. But it's the same with the subject matter. Like my new song, I'm working on a disco album. Like I want people, you know, to be dancing and having a good time because we've been kind of shut up in our houses for so long and disconnected that, like, you know, things are happening. People are getting to the clubs now and things are starting to open up again and it's going to be crazy. And I want to be part of that, like, excitement. But a lot of the things that have been going on socially have really affected me. And so while I'm working on that album, I decided, like, you know what? I have to speak what's in my heart. You know what I mean? Like, it's great to, you know, to make a club song and have people dance and stuff. But for me, I wanted to speak on some of the bigger topics, especially like racism with the Black Lives Matter movement and some of the things that have been going on. And so I've been releasing songs that are more personal and more talking about social issues and like bringing people together and stuff that's really from the heart. And it's not, you know, it's not as entertainment focused. It's more like heart focus and soul. It's like soulful, you know what I mean? And so that really, when I send the music out to like the curators and the industry pros and the DJs, they say like, and the playlist supervisors, they're like, nobody's making music like this. Like you're in a lane by itself right now with some of the stuff that you're doing. And people really, I think, resonate with music that's authentic. So my advice, I guess, or how I did it was just putting out the music, whatever it was that I felt was right, you know, at the time, and trusting my instincts instead of just trying to chase, you know, whatever's commercial and whatever's popping. And so I would say it would be the same thing as a DJ. If, you know, there's art DJs that kind of create their own lane by going into a style of music that may not be, you know, necessarily mainstream top 40, but it's music that they love. And my advice would be like, you're going to get the authentic fans, people who really love you and who ride with you no matter what, instead of just the people who kind of come and go.
Yeah, man.
That makes sense.
I absolutely love that answer. And being your authentic self is what really allows people to be a raving fan of you. And I think that that's super important because a lot of people try to chase what looks appealing. But guess what? That thing already exists. For you to just be yourself makes you a unique element in the space that people can attach themselves to. Like for me, I can't remember the DJ's name, but he did something that captured me so strongly. So I'm a Christian and I love my gospel music. I love my praise and worship music. And I had no clue that, you know, like what his interests were. And he was rocking. He was just great general DJ playing, you know, a lot of hip hop. And then out of nowhere, he cut in one of my favorite like praise and worship songs for literally it was literally like 4 seconds. And that changed the game for me. And, right. You know, like to mix a religious song with hip hop and all this other kind of music, most DJs would probably stay away from that. But that DJ decided, look, I'm going to be myself and I'm going to just do what I love. And by doing that, he got a fan out of me. Like, I'm going to look up that DJ and make sure I reach out to him. Like, yo, bro, like you did that. And I hope you know, like that really meant something. Those 4 seconds meant something big to me. And some DJs are just afraid to do what they want to do in their heart. And by just being yourself, whether you're a producer, a DJ, an artist, a singer, a writer, by just really being your authentic self, you really unlock some amazing things that's going to resonate with people in ways that you would never imagine.
That's it. That's exactly right. I mean, I was thinking about Kanye releasing Jesus Walks like way back in the day, and how like controversial that was in the rap game. As big as he was at that time, how people were saying it's going to end his career, but he wanted to make the music that was in his heart. And he released that song, and people were, you know, it was a hit in the clubs even. Like it came out even better than I think he probably expected.
Yeah, man. And that was being his authentic self, man. Exactly. This is great so far, brother. I'm really appreciating this conversation. At this time, we're going to jump into a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to dive deeper into your relationship with DJs and how DJs can get into producing, okay?
Sounds good.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. We're here with my brother, Chris J. Hudson. He's a producer and doing an amazing job at this. We're super excited to be hearing your story. I would love for you to dive into, you know, producing and how DJs with their unique experience with music can get into it. A lot of DJs on our podcast that we've interviewed already have expressed interest in producing and have dabbled into it a bit. What advice can you give for other DJs out there that want to start producing, and talk about, you know, how to get started and kind of some of the opportunities that are available to them once they begin doing that as well?
Sure. Yeah. I think DJs have kind of a unique area of expertise, because they have that one-on-one with the people. And so they know what's hot. They know what people are looking for. They know what people like. And usually producers love music like on a personal level. Oh, I love this artist. I love this artist. I want to make music. And so this is what I'm going to create. But they don't necessarily have like the pulse of what other people will really love. And a lot of the more famous producers out there, especially guys like, especially back in the day, like Timbaland, Manny Fresh, those dudes came back up. And Manny Fresh, for people who don't know, was like the dude that was behind a lot of like Lil Wayne's early stuff, all his early hits, like on Cash Money. Those guys had a unique understanding of what people like because of the fact that they DJ. And so they were able to make, you know, those top 40 hits that everybody loves. And that's what is going to get you the big top dollar as a producer, is making music that, you know, because everybody wants a hit. Hits are what drive the music industry. And so it makes a career. A lot of people, you know, when you name a top tier artist, they'll only know one song of that artist, you know, or two songs, right? It's like, what was song number 5 on their last album? They won't know. But they'll know the hit, right? And so that's generally, you know, how it is. It's like you can have a big tour and make a lot of money just off of one song. You know what I mean? That goes platinum, or does really well. And so, as a producer or as a DJ getting into producing, you know what people want. So like, definitely trust your instincts in that regard. As far as getting started is concerned, it's easier to get started than it ever has been in like the history of music. You can get what's called a DAW. They call it Digital Audio Workstation, a music program that you can use to put your music in. Fruity Loops, FL Studio, Pro Tools is a little bit more complicated. Logic is a little bit more complicated, but easier than Pro Tools. Ableton Live. There are so many different options. Cubase for people who love PCs. Even down to like Persona Studio One. There's tons of DAWs. And like, I got a 9-year-old son, and you know, when we talk, we Zoom because he's in Arizona, and I'll play him some of the stuff that I'm working on, and be like, "Oh, I love that, Daddy. That's dope." And then he'll want to do it with me. Like, he'll play me some of the stuff that he's working on. And he's like 9, and he found like a DAW for kids that's free, that, you know, they have pre-recorded loops. You can splice them together. So it's like, it doesn't require any money really. You can get in, as long as you have a half decent computer. You can find a free program. You can find some free loops online, and you can get to work. And there's tons of, you know, free tutorial videos on YouTube. So it's like really like the best time it's ever been to get into producing.
Wow, man. Now, that's super good insight, man. I love that you broke it down real simply. And that's dope that your 9-year-old is actually getting into it. And sounds like he's doing a good job so far.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's not bad for being in fourth grade.
Nice, man. Yeah, I would love to transition into, you know, some of the importance of the relationship between DJs and producers. You know, why should DJs make sure they find good producers to work with, and vice versa? Why should good producers find good DJs to work with as well?
Well, I think it's super important to have a DJ, because a lot of times the DJs are the ones that are in the club, right? So having a good relationship between the music that's being played in the club and the music that comes out of the studio is important, right? So like, if you are on the pulse of producers, as a DJ, you get to know who's hot, who's up and coming, who may not have broken through, you know, through the radar yet. Right. And maybe a lot of people don't know him. Maybe he's working on his first album, or she is working on their first album, and, you know, they're working in the studio, but it hasn't come out yet. If you have that good relationship with that producer, you could be one of the first DJs who can play that music and can break that artist. And that could be something that's very important for you. And then, of course, then you have that relationship with the artist as well. And as they go up, then, you know, that's somebody that's a friend in your pocket. So then, you know, you can maybe call on them, you know, for a favor, and vice versa, right? So it's super important that you hear not only the music that people like, but the music that's being created in the studio, so that you know who's, you know, who's up and coming and who's on the bubble, and you can break them first. I would say vice versa for as far as producers knowing good DJs or being connected with DJs is, I would say the opposite. It's like knowing what's popping in the studio is different than knowing what everybody's listening to right now in the club. So having that relationship and being there in the club, like physically listening, which was like last weekend. Actually, this happened on Saturday night. We were in the studio, and I got an invitation to come out to one of the clubs, and I heard a few songs that I was just like, people were like really vibing, and I was like, who is this? You know what I mean? I had to Shazam, you know, right in the club, like, what's going on? You know, why did I not hear about this? And, you know, a lot of times, especially when you're in the studio, you're listening to like the same songs over and over again, because you're creating the beat, or you're, you know, mixing. And so you end up just hearing a lot of music from one artist, or, you know, or a couple artists, or a few artists. And then when you get home, it's like, sometimes, you know, to still keep listening to music, sometimes you just, you know, kind of burnt out a little bit. So it's really good to have that relationship with the DJs and be in the clubs, so that you can hear what's popping.
Yeah, I think that's really dope. And DJs are the closest to the customer. They're right there on the floor with these people that are going to be listening to the music and kind of validating what's hot and what's not. So it's also good for producers to use DJs as an ability to test to see if certain beats are hitting, and be able to just kind of iterate on that. Like, hey, I got a crew of DJs that I sample out music to, and they play it in the clubs or the parties, and you watch the reactions. And then you can like use that as live feedback to determine if this is going to be a hit that's going to play that certain melody or that certain beat within a song and really take off. And I think that by having that kind of team of people that all have different roles in the production of music, you can really establish a good process to make music that's going to really change the lives of everyone in the industry.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, using data is so important, and like trying it out on people and seeing how they react. If you get a good response, then, you know, as a producer, like, that's, you should probably, you know, make more beats like that, you know, and it'll be great for your business, you know, great for cash.
Oh yeah. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, the business of a producer. How do producers typically make money?
So producers, and this role has changed. There are two, I would say actually three different types, but normally producers do a combination of all three. Producers make money selling music to top tier artists. So they're going in the studio. They're not necessarily like the, I'm going to make, you know, the beats at home and then put them on BeatStars. That's the probably the second category of producers. The first category, they work with like the big tier dudes. They work pretty much exclusively in the large studios, and they sell beats directly to the platinum artists and the biggest artists at, you know, $3,000 to $10,000 a piece. And then that's a whole nother hustle, because you got to be in with like managers and really know, have the connections to those big name artists. And that can get, that can be tough. It can take a lot of time developing those connections. But when you do sell a beat, it's like, I could go buy a car, you know what I mean? Cause you get so much money. But the thing is, the downside to that is you only make, you make sales every so often. And then there's the more of the Walmart approach, which is like going on BeatStars and leasing your beats. So saying, hey, you can rent this beat, you know, it's not going to be yours, but you can, you know, you can use it, but I'm going to sell it to other people also. And those beats generally are, you know, 20 to, I've seen them as much as $100 for a beat lease for someone who is well established. So that's more of like the method that most producers that you see online are using now, because you're not selling to just the top tier of the music industry. You're selling to the people who want to get into the music industry, want to rap, want to sing. And there's a lot more people who want to sing, who are aspiring, than who are at the top. So you're not making as much, but you're making your money because you're doing more sales of a small transaction. So like I said, the Walmart approach, selling the bulk, you know, for cheap kind of prices. And then the third way that you make money is what's called sync licensing, sync placements. And so that's making beats and music exclusively for like TV, for advertisements online and things like that. So everything that's being done is used for, you know, big companies are buying it to use in movies and product placement ads and stuff like that. And so that's another lane that's completely different, because you have to structure your music in a certain way, and it's got to be in a certain format in order for it to be accepted by the marketing companies who pitch the music to the movie industry and the advertising industry. But those tend, when you get one of those sales, it's a few thousand generally, but between like $500 and $4,500 generally is the range that you make for selling a beat to be used in like a commercial or for, you know, on TV when they broadcast the NFL, stuff like that. So nice. Those are the three lanes.
Great. Yeah, no, that's awesome, brother. And I think that you're teaching me a lot. You know, I didn't know exactly how producers made money. I think you really broke it down in a very simplistic way for all of us to understand. So thank you for sharing your insight, man. I would love to you give us some, you know, highlights of about what you're working on now, and how could my audience, myself, the club, and our community help and support you?
Oh, wow. So, man, because my next album is going to be a disco album, it's retro. Like I'm a fan of like what The Weeknd is doing. Artists like Dua Lipa's last album. Like I just love that retro throwback sound. And I even love, man, what was this, back in 2012 or 11 or in the early 2010s, Shakira had a song, She-Wolf, that was like super crazy disco. And I just love that sound. And I'm so glad that it's back, because we kind of get to blend some of the music that was hitting from the past from like my artists like Michael Jackson and Prince and the Bee Gees and like other, you know, artists, Marvin Gaye, you know, with the sounds that are happening now. And so it's a really cool blend of the old and the new, which I love personally, because there's a lot of great things about old music, older music that people aren't exposed to. It's completely different than the music that's getting created today. And so I think the merging of them is great. I would say as DJs, when the album is released, like next month, my EP is going to be released. And then hopefully the month after that, I'll be able to finish the album and get it out. I would love, love, love feedback from DJs, because every song is going to be relatively up-tempo. It's either going to be lounge music, so like chill, you know, snap your fingers, okay, yeah, which is my song Colors that's out right now, is more lounge, barbecue, family reunion type stuff. And then I'm going to have more upbeat club, disco numbers, fast tempo, 110, 120, 130 BPM for you producers. So I would love feedback, because y'all are in the clubs. If you could, you know, reach out to me when the album comes out and just let me know like what songs that you would play, so that I know like, okay, let me push this one. Let me make a music video for this one. You know what I mean? Getting that kind of feedback from people who know, who are in the clubs, is super, super valuable. So I would appreciate that. That would be amazing if y'all could help me out.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm here and I'm going to definitely support and push out. So let me know and I'll push the information out to our network and also people listening to the podcast and on our live streams. Definitely check out my brother, Chris J. Hudson. He's doing an amazing job. At this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Describe your producing setup, hardware and software.
Ah, all right. I try to keep everything in the box. So I use a MacBook Pro, a copy of Logic. I don't do a lot of sampling anymore because there's a lot of restrictions with it, putting it on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So I try to sample as minimal as I can. So I do use Splice for like sound effects, but I try to stay away from using Splice as like the main piece of the song. I use Logic and I've mixed with Waves plugins. I have a couple keyboards, the Arturia Keylab 49 in the back, this white one right here. I should have turned it on so you can see it's got a bunch of lights and stuff. And that gives me pretty amazing control over a lot of the different parameters to tweak the sound the way I want. And then for having a piano feel, I'm a player. I've got, you know, guitars and basses and stuff like that, so that I can make the music myself, because it's an amazing experience to get in there and start playing the bass. It feels completely different. It's just expanding your horizons. And so I have a fully weighted keyboard right here in the back. This one actually was used, this is the Elton John model that was used in the 70s. He pioneered this one. It's a Roland RD250S. And then Stevie Wonder ended up adopting it later. And so I got this one vintage off of Craigslist. Somebody was like, I bought this, but it's too heavy and my 7-year-old daughter doesn't want to play. And I got it for like $100 and the keyboard's worth a lot more. So looking on Craigslist, that's the move. Yard sales and stuff like that, you'll be able to find some great deals. I mix with, these are Roland, I might have to go in the back to check. Roland, I believe these are DS90S. These are digital. They're completely digital. And they have the ability to do analog as well. So it gives me a lot of control as far as reducing hiss and noise and having to reduce the need for digital audio conversion, which is like more advanced. But it's a relatively simple setup. I was able to make music that using stock plugins in Logic, an Art Tube MP. It's like a $50 mic preamp. And I used a Sterling ST51 for many, many years. And I had like I've been in platinum studios with guys that have platinum plaques on their walls. Like, how did you mix these vocals? How did you get this sound? And I'm like, I'm using stock plugins. You know what I mean? I'm using a $65 microphone and a 50, you know what I'm saying? It's not about your gear. And this is like a complete misconception in the music industry, because a lot of people make a lot of money off of selling gear. But I just want to let you know, everyone, that you can be broke, you could be a starving artist, you can be a starving DJ, and you could still make amazing music. It's about the idea. It's and the execution. Just get creative with what you got. Don't let not having money limit you.
Who's your favorite DJ or producer?
Favorite producer? Ooh, I would say Pharrell and Quincy Jones are my favorite guys. Quincy Jones, because he knew jazz. He knew how to write music for orchestras. And he wrote the number one selling solo album of all time, right? With Thriller and Michael Jackson. So he had the amazing range. And Pharrell started off just making, you know, simple beats with a, you know, very simple equipment. And now with his evolution, he's making music with Daft Punk with like a full band. His one of Snoop's last albums, everything was done by a full band, and it sounds completely different than the music that he made, you know, when he was first starting out. So those guys have amazing range and really know music and the theory about music.
Who's the most interesting person you've met throughout your career as a producer?
The most interesting person I've met
or worked with.
I have to be definitely the guy I'm working with right now, Moscow Star One. We recorded almost four albums now together, and that the guy is he's amazing. He's like he reminds me of a pit bull, of the artist Pitbull. Short dude, Latin dude, just super strong, like boxer personality, like, you know, let's get it. You know what I mean? Just always energized, always motivated. And, you know, in music, we have our ups and downs. And sometimes the music is popping and everybody loves you. And sometimes, you know, the ideas aren't flowing, you know, creatively. And you're like, man, I can't make a dope beat to save my life right now. And so I was at one of those points when he reached out to me and said that he wanted, you know, he was needing an engineer. And so we've been recording his albums. And I mean, we're talking like guests with Snoop Dogg and connections with the top tier producers like TaylorMade and stuff like that. Like we had sessions that we were doing for Sony because they reached out to him. And he's just been able to really to make just being an independent artist and making it seem so much more like a realistic, it makes it more real because he's out there doing it. And he didn't have a ton of industry connections or anything. He just made, you know, amazing music. And then he played the social media game like hardcore. He's one of the best marketers, self-promoters that you'll ever meet in your entire life. Like if you check out his Instagram, you'll be hooked. And so he's got over 120,000 followers now. And when I met him, he was at 6,000 followers. And that was less than a year ago. We met last fall. So we recorded about four albums in that time. And his reach with everyone has grown like just through the roof in just a short amount of time because he had such a belief in himself and is really inspiring. So like, don't let anything hold you back. Go out there and get it.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs and producers?
Live streaming. I would say sound quality. A lot of the times people are accessing the internet from their phones. And this is so, you know, when you're in the club, you're hearing music through, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $100,000 systems. But if you're live streaming, right, like, and people are listening to that same music through the iPhones, you know, what, there's like, what, five dots in here, and these produce sounds, you know, on each side. And so it's like, it's not, there's not the same feeling. There's not the same feeling. So I would say that if you are live streaming, try to convey the hype that you would feel if you were in the club visually by just, you know, being extra so that people get the feel, because they're not going to get the vibe the same way just listening to it through their phones, you know, on Instagram or their streaming platforms.
Awesome. And shout out to any DJs or producers that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Let's see. Oh, Sombrero Music. Everyone follow Sombrero Music. He's killing it right now. He worked for Sony in-house. He was an in-house producer for Sony. And he left. They wanted to put him in a box. He left. He's like, I'm out of there. I'm doing my own thing. And he is killing it. He's out of Houston, Texas. Sombrero Music. The guy's got amazing range. And he makes the most entertaining videos, like the beat videos, where you just play the beat. You know what I'm saying? He's like, everybody, you know, let me see you get on this one. He's got a tag phrase like DJ Khaled. His videos are amazing. So go check out that dude and follow him. He's on his way up for sure. Sombrero Music.
Awesome. Look forward to hearing his story one day. And anyone that's interested in being on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events and working in person?
I'm doing most of my stuff remote. As far as mixing is concerned and producing, I do go in because I get booked for sessions to go and record people. So I'll be at a studio every once in a while, but it's more of a special occasion thing now, with everything that's going on with the pandemic. But you can find me at, Instagram. I'm really trying to grow my Instagram. It's Christ, C-H-R-I-S, J Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N Music. Christ J Hudson Music. And if you type in Christ J Hudson Music, you can find me on YouTube. You can find me in newspapers. You can find me in you name it. Just type it in, Christ J Hudson Music, and my website will come up, Twitter, and everything. So, but most importantly, if you would follow me on IG, I would appreciate that.
Awesome, brother. And we're going to follow you and make sure we shout you out as well. So, thank you for spending time with us today. This has been a great deep dive into the world of producing. Super valuable how you related it to DJing and just gave us some real insight on how to jump into the industry. This has been great, and we really appreciate you spending time with us. Everyone, please follow and check out my brother, Christ J Hudson. He's really doing it big and has a lot ahead of him. So we're super excited to be able to follow you on your journey from here on out. So thank you, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Everybody, take care. If you have any questions, reach out to me personally. I'll be glad to answer them. I mean that. Reach out.